Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do that, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Good evening. Welcome to another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're glad you could join us today. It is a beautiful, blessed day. I just would like to say that we just thank our radio listening audience for tuning in. Today it was, you know, challenging, but however, God blessed us to make it here for another day, and we give all praises and glory to God. I know coming in, we got caught up in a lot of traffic, and I was saying, Lord, I got to get to the station. I got to get to the station. So, you know, sometimes in Atlanta, when you have a lot of maybe a car accident or something like that, that would just back up the traffic for miles and miles. But like I said, we're just thankful to God that we were able to be here today and be able to bring this message of unbelief. You know, it's a lot of that going on in the body of Christ, and we say, well, Lord, how can that be? We're believers. We believe to get saved, but yet there is still a spirit of unbelief. We can trust God for some of the minor things, But when it comes to the more challenging things, we find it difficult to put our whole trust in God. So right now I just want to say about our announcements, be sure to join us next Friday. We will have Brother John Ramirez coming to you live. He will be sharing his testimony of how God delivered him out of the kingdom of darkness. He was the third highest ranking high priest in Santeria. And God delivered him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is the kind of God we serve. I mean, his power is more powerful than any kingdom of darkness. And you have to know that for surety. You have to know that. God is more powerful. No devil in hell can keep us down. So right now we're just going to open the program with a word of prayer. And I have a few scriptures that I would like to cover. And then from there we will turn the rest of the broadcast over to Pastor Bobby Montgomery. Father God, we just want to thank you today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your mighty power, your mighty works. We reverence you, Father. You're so holy. And Lord God, we just thank you that you have seen us as servants to bring forth your word. And Lord God, now we just speak a blessing over our listening audience, and we come against any spirit that would try to bind them, that would try to work with their mind, that would try to confuse them where they would not be able to hear the word of God. And we break your hold off of their mind, Satan. Take your hand off of them. Let them go. We plead the blood of Jesus over their mind, and we cast you out. And now, right now, Father God, let what we say come forth and go forth into their spirit so that they can receive the powerful, anointed word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And, okay, like I was saying, we will be coming to you with the speaking on the spirit of unbelief. And, you know, as I thought about it, the Lord gave me some scriptures talking about the children of Israel. And I know a lot of times we say, well, we've heard those stories over and over and over. But there were some things that I just wanted to bring out. I am going to the scriptures now. It's Numbers 13:31, and this is talking about the children of Israel. It says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they have the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature, meaning they were giants. He said, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight. And so we were in their sight. And so you see here, they already had that defeated mentality. And another thing, when God tells us to do something, if we act in disobedience, we already have defeated our purpose. So they had already set within their mind. Remember, Satan comes to your mind. He speaks to your mind. They had already said, we can't defeat them, even though God told them you could. Okay, so Numbers 14:1-4, so all the congregation lifted up their voices. Now, this is when they were speaking against Moses. He said, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. See, we have to be careful about speaking against the men and women that God has set before us. Because of them speaking that negativity, you know, on in the scriptures, God sent fiery serpents, and I'll go down through that a little later. But we know any time the Bible speaks of serpents, scorpions, anything like that, he's talking about demon spirits. So I'll go down through that a little later. But anyway, how they were talking against the man of God. And they said, well, we would have been better off. Egypt is a representation of sin, slavery, bondage. So, you know, when you come into the life, which when you become saved, you're no more in bondage, which is a representation of Egypt. But they were saying, we would have been better off in sin. You see how they talked against the Lord? God led them out of Egypt. But yet, because of their murmuring and complaining, they wanted to return back to sin. And God already had proved himself to them time and time again. Okay, he said, and this is Numbers 14, 27, and 30. He said, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. This carcass of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, all of you who are numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years of age, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb and Jephunneh, Joshua the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. So you see, they cursed themselves with their mouth, with their tongue, because they didn't believe the power of God. If God brought them out of the wilderness, God is able to keep them. But the murmuring and complaining, God even said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Sound familiar? Do you hear that today? Time and time again, God will deliver you out of one thing, and then you'll start down and, well, I just don't know how to trust God. And he said, didn't I deliver you? Didn't I deliver your child? When you didn't have a job, didn't I make a way for you to have a job? Did I give you a house to live in? See, these are just, so God was telling me, and I said, okay, God. He said, well, until we can get them to be thankful for what they do have, I can't advance them to do the more greater works. He said, greater works you will do. In my name, you will cast out devils. But if you can't get past how we're going to eat, how we're going to pay our bills, how are you going to get to that point? So this is why God wanted his church to mature, to grow up, stop murmuring and complaining about everything. Yeah, you may have it hard. Yeah, sometimes things may not go the way we want to. But in all that, we can look back over our lives and see where God has brought us from. When we didn't have a dime, God made a way. He would bring somebody. If you didn't have food, somebody would come and bring you some food. Somebody would help you to make it another day. Or if your children was wayward and acting crazy, I'm going to just say it like that because I had teenagers at one time. They was acting crazy. But God made a way, and now they're serving God. See, the power of God is powerful, but we have to stand on God's word. He said, so I'm going to read on down to Numbers 21, and I told you about talking, this murmuring, this complaining. He said, so the Lord sent fiery serpents, which is demons, among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. You see how that murmuring, complaining, you say, well, we won't die physically. Yeah, but you died spiritually. The more you murmur, the more you complain, the more you dying and you disobedient. God cannot use you if you're disobedient. So he said in Numbers 21 and 7, he said, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. But see, that's how you don't want to get to that point where you're just so negative, where you can't hear the voice of the Lord. Everything, you got to complain. You got to, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Come on, we need to repent. We need to repent and ask God to change our mind, change our heart. And the last chapter I want to bring up, excuse me, I have a little cold here. So that's another thing, put it under the blood. It says Mark 16:17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Okay, you got to believe. You got to receive this word. You can't just talk it. You can't just say, well, Lord, I read it. It has to become part. It has to become part of your life, part of your heart. So whatever you speak is coming out of your heart. He said, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. We have that authority. We have that power in Christ Jesus that when we speak, demons has to obey. And I looked up the word of unbelief in the Greek, and it means faithlessness. That means no faith. It means disbelief, unfaithfulness, disobedience. And you can't, he said, you can't please God if you're walking in unbelief. You see what I'm saying? He said you can't make it in with unbelief, because it's going to take faith to make it into the kingdom. So if you're already walking in disbelief, how will you receive the manifold blessing of us being raptured into the kingdom of God? You won't be able to do it because you're walking in disbelief. And another thing I want to say, and a lot of times it's our company too, and we have to be careful who we associate with. And I'm not saying walk around, you know, not speaking to people. No, that's not what I'm saying. But be careful who feed into your spirit, because negativity will rub off on you and you'll start speaking negativity and unbelief. You'll start cursing God. You'll start doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing. So let's be very careful. Guard up our mind. Guard up our heart. Because, see, the enemy is so subtle, like we said on last week. And he'll come to you in any way he can. He might come to you in a false word that is dressed up to look like it's spiritual, but it's a deceptive lie. Or he may come through associations. Or he may get you so worked up with the economy and things going on in the economy where you say, oh, it's hard to trust God. There's so much going on. It's so hard. Stop looking at it. If getting you off track, looking at TV going to make you doubt God, cut the TV off, okay? Just cut it off. Because you're not going to walk in faith, and you're looking at the circumstances, you're looking at everything going around you, just cut it off. He says, so when we say these signs, what Jesus is saying, miracles, signs, supernatural. Like I said, we got to get you from just the basics of how we're going to eat, how we're going to pay our bills. God want to take you into the miraculous, where you can see the blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, demons coming out of people. This is where God wants to get us to see the signs, the supernatural miracles. Because he already told you he's going to provide for your every need. He said, if I provide for the birds, how much more will I provide for you? Oh, ye of little faith. Let's get past just this everyday lifestyle. Every day I got to worry about this. Yeah, we have certain things we need to pay, and we're mindful of that. But don't let that consume you where you begin to doubt and not believe the word of God. If he said he's going to take care of you, he will take care of you. Okay, it says believe. When he said if you believe these things you will do, trust, that means put your whole heart, and just like a little child, if a little child, you tell him mama or daddy is going to do that, that child believe every word you say. This is how we need to believe the word of God. If God tell you you can be set free, you're going to be delivered, stand on that word. Don't let the devil come to you and tell you you're not delivered. Don't let him come to you and tell you you're not saved, because the word of God say he that call upon the Lord. So when you call upon the Lord with a pure heart, God will come in. So we have to rebuke the enemy, because like I said, he is a liar. And when we use the name of Jesus, that name alone is the authority that God has given each and every one of us as believers. We have that authority. He said, these works and greater works you will do. In my name you shall. He didn't say maybe. He said you will cast out devils. So sometimes It may not be where you could get to a man or woman of God. You can lay hands on yourself. You can start commanding them demons to come out of yourself and rebuke them. And he said, we have that authority. Christians need to be taught how to battle. A lot of times we haven't been taught how to battle. Only thing we'll battle for is, like I said, something material. Now, we'll go to full war for that. Oh, I got to get my stuff. I want my house. I want my car. I'm a battle for that. But God is saying battle for your life, battle for your soul, in the sense of that the enemy is trying to deceive you. Get strong in your faith. Get strong in your belief. Let the Lord come in and begin to manifest the miracles that he wants to show the world, the nations, so the world can look on the church and say, wow, look how they're operating in the miracles. Look how they're operating in the anointing. They're going forth. And see, that's what draws the world. When they start seeing the power of God manifested in you, they see that the enemy that they're serving don't compare. That's how Brother Ramirez got saved, because he seen the power of God was greater than the power of darkness. So, this saints, this is what we need to do. And how do you build yourself up? Start reading the Word. Start pushing away things that is going to cloud out the Word of God. That is how you build yourself up in the Word, because the devil know if you know the Word, but you have to know that you know the Word. So when he come, like he came to Jesus, 40 days he had fasted, he came to Jesus, and Jesus spoke the Word. It is written. You see what I'm saying? So when he come to you, you speak the Word. It is written. The Word says this, give thee behind me, Satan. So this is what we need to do. We need to just gird up ourselves, put on our breastplate of righteousness, put on that helmet of salvation. Don't let anything go into that mind but the Word of God. He said meditate on his Word day and night. That way, if you meditate on his Word day and night, you won't have time for the enemy to bring his fiery darts and try to get your mind off course. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So God is, he's able. He's more than able. And I just wanted to bring those words out. I wanted to just get your mind to thinking, so when the man of God come and bring forth the Word, you already is in an atmosphere to receive it. So we, as of tonight, tomorrow, we're going to walk a different walk. If we have been murmuring and complaining, we're going to ask God to forgive us. We can do that right now. We can ask the demon of unbelief to come out of us right now. If you know if you've been talking against the power of God, you say, well, maybe I haven't been saying that, but if you even was doubting, I had to get delivered of a spirit of doubt myself because it has started manifesting in the form of hypertension. And when you have hypertension, I had went and had every kind of test. And they say, well, we don't find anything wrong with you that will contribute to this hypertension. Well, I had to do deliverance. Me and my husband, we did deliverance and had to get that demon of worry out of me. It lay dormant for a long time, and you think that's just my personality, or I'm just a chronic worrier. Don't claim that. God did not give you the spirit of worry. That's from the enemy. Or a spirit of anxiety. You know, I hear a lot of people, oh, I'm just high strung. You don't need to be if you're a child of God and you're trusting in God. Rebuke that. Let that go. Release that. Say, you're coming out of me tonight because I'm not going to live another day with anxiety and worry. So this is what we have to do. Break those spirits. At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God. Pastor Bobby Montgomery, he will come, and he will give you the Word of God as the Lord has given to him. Amen? Amen.
Praise God, saints. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, Sister Montgomery really brought that out. Now, there's a reason that we're talking about unbelief at this particular time, and it's mainly in reference to the things that Sister Montgomery has already said. But I'm going to elaborate a little more on this area because we're going to try to take care of all of this. We want to try to, what we're actually doing, the reason we're pointing to unbelief is not so much to point to unbelief, is to point you and show you how that will affect your spiritual walk so that you can turn to faith and belief in God. Because the thing about this unbelief is that it is very subtle. It is not just all of a sudden you're just not believing. It works very subtly. And before you know it, you're unbelieving. So we're going to go into some of those things right now. And coming out of Amos 8 and 11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, in this particular day and time, there's an epidemic in America. The epidemic has stopped the flow of revival in many churches. It has led astray thousands of people into false doctrine, and it has virtually ruined many ministries. It is the sin of unbelief. It's unbelief. So what's the answer to that? Now, the Bible records that in Acts 17 and 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So you see what happened. In order to truthfully get your mind in faith to believing the words of God, we must study the word daily. That's something we have to do. And when we study the word daily, we have to do it with an open mind to receive it. We can't believe some scriptures and then doubt other scriptures. We have to believe the word of God from cover to cover. Sometimes that may be difficult, but you can put those difficulties under the blood, continue to read the word, continue to believe the word, and you will see the word manifest in your life. Why? Because you believe the word. You believe the word. So therefore, when you believe, that dispels doubt. But if you don't believe certain parts of the Bible, you're opening the way to doubt and disbelief. And when you open the way to doubt and disbelief, you also open the road to the devil and everything that he has for you. Now, I'm going to read a little more now. It says, I want you to know that you can become prey to unbelief if you do not learn how to recognize it. We have to recognize unbelief. It comes to us in a weak moment and whispers doubt about our faith, our walk with God, or even our pastor. Now, it does not come recognizably, but subtly. It sneaks in. It works like you doubt a little here, and you doubt a little there. You disbelieve a little of this word, and you disbelieve a little of that word. You say, well, now, I believe that part of the Bible, but this other part I have my doubts about. You're opening yourself up to the enemy, and he will put an evil spirit of unbelief on you or in you if you continue in that vein. Now, it interweaves into our thought processes. It gets into our thought processes, making it harder to recognize. Now, something about wolves. Wolves wait in the shadows for the right moment to strike the sheep. So the spirit of unbelief lurks in the shadows of our thought processes, waiting to destroy us. Now, wolves are some of the meanest animals we know. What a wolf will do, it'll take days to eat its prey while the prey is still alive. Thus, the prey is thus dying a slow, agonizing death. That's how doubt is. It's not going to just take you out at one time. It'll eat away. It will just eat away at your belief processes. It will eat away at your faith. It will eat away at your word of God. It's just, so you have to catch it right off the bat. So if something comes to your mind that goes against the word of God, you got to completely rebuke that and put it up under the blood immediately. Because if you don't, it's going to creep up and it's going to destroy you. Now I say, unbelief is a destroyer. It takes our faith in ministry, our faith in God, or even our faith in the word of God, It overtakes us until it is not the word of God that judges us, but it's in our own opinion and carnal reasoning. Little by little, they question one area of the word of God, what I said earlier, and entertain these thoughts until doubt has so fogged our minds or their mind that they are unable to see the lighthouse of truth. You see how doubt works? You see how it works? You see how unbelief works? It's a falling prey to unbelief will stop the flow of revival, start our confidence in the ministry, and even cause us to lose out with God. That's how unbelief works. That's how it works. It's subtle. That's why we have to believe every word of God, because every word of God is inspired of God. And it is our only lifeline, it is our only way to become strong in the Lord and to become strong in faith and to believe the word is to receive the word. Read the word, believe the word, receive the word, and grow in the word. Now, I'm going to read some other things in reference to unbelief because it's a kind of thing that, you know, people say, well, I believe the word, I believe the Bible, I believe God's word, I'm walking, I'm believing, I'm a Christian, yes, but to each man there is a measure of faith. Now, that measure of faith, it really has nothing to do with unbelief, but it is in reference to your calling in God. It's in reference to your giftings in God. It's in reference to your maturity in God. It's in reference to your standing in God. It's in reference to what the belief that God has placed in your heart and the giftings that God has placed in your heart. To believe in salvation, to believe in the receiving of the Spirit, to believe in the various giftings of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that is that particular measure of God, that God measure of faith that God has given every man in reference to the Bible, in reference to God. But what we're talking about right now is the things that would hinder that. So what we're talking about is unbelief. Now, unbelief is surely at the root of all sin. And there is much unbelief in the world today. Just look at your television programs. Just look at what you hear every day. Just look at what you read in the papers. Just look around you, and you see unbelief everywhere. It's everywhere. Now, the thing about this unbelief is understandable in reference to people who don't know God, don't have anything to do with God. But it's not understandable among those who know the Lord. For instance, it's unbelievable that the Hebrew children could fall into unbelief after God had miraculously delivered them out of the hand out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. Yet they did. That's amazing. That really is amazing. You go through the Red Sea on dry land. Water is standing up on walls on either side of you. You can see this. And after you come out of the Red Sea, and after you see Pharaoh and the Egyptians floating in the Red Sea after the water have overflowed the Egyptians, but the Israelites is standing on dry land watching the bodies of the Egyptians float on the shore. But yet, they were in unbelief. That's strange. That's real strange. That they could see that and get on the shore, and not too far from that point, they come to a point in the wilderness where there is no water, and they were complaining. They forgot about that unbelief, that evil sin of unbelief, come back over them, and they forgot what God just did for them. That's what we have to watch out for. When God delivers us from something, we have to hold on to that, because the enemy will bring that. He will bring unbelief. He will bring doubt. But the remedy for doubt is the word of God, and also the remedy for doubt is the things that God has previously done for you. Now, fearfulness is another part of unbelief. Yes, it is. Fearfulness is another part of unbelief. See, the Hebrew children were overcome with fear. Fear will cause you to doubt and look away from God. See, now, they heard reports over in the Promised Land of giants, walled cities up with the walls up to heaven. They were terrified. They whimpered. They whined. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They forgot that they were serving a miracle-working God. Right after they come out of the Red Sea, they forgot that fast that they were serving a miracle-working God, a God that there is nothing impossible for, and therefore they forgot about all that. Now, as I said, that same God that just drowned Pharaoh's whole army in the sea, they forgot about that fast. Hebrews 3:19, we have this sad commentary concerning Israel. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Unbelief will keep you out of the promises of God. Unbelief will keep you out of your holy land. Unbelief will keep you out of your land of Canaan. Unbelief will keep you out of the things of God. Now, when we express fear before our enemies sense it immediately. Now, the enemy is like a mean dog. As long as you walk toward that dog with confidence, he will grudgingly move out of your path and slink away. That's true. I've experienced that. Dogs would run at you. And if you hold your ground, many times they will stop and they will move away from you. And you can go on. But if you run, they will chase you and they'll hurt you. They'll bite you. But see, but God helps us if we show fear and begin to retreat. See, that because that dog will eat you up. Now, David was a man of great spiritual strength and holy boldness. However, on one occasion, fear got hold of him. He wrote a description of this episode in Psalms 55, 4 through 5. He said, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. So how did David get into this state? He gives us an answer in 2nd and 3rd verse of Psalm. He said, my thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught at the voice of the enemy. David had been listening to the voice of the enemy, and it almost destroyed him. We cannot listen to the enemy. We cannot be fearful of the enemy, because when we are fearful of the enemy, we are in unbelief. Unbelief is a sin, and we have to watch that. Now, see, when we realize who our Heavenly Father is and how much He loves and cares for us, we cannot go on fearing. The Bible says in John 4 and 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So you see, fearfulness is another form of unbelief. Then we have pride. Pride is a form of unbelief. You see, if pride is a form of unbelief, now if we seek to lift ourselves up before others, we do that because we do not believe God can or will lift us up. It's unbelief. There's so much wasted effort among Christians today as we try vainly to impress each other. Amen. We seek to climb up the ladder of success, even in Christian ranks, by stepping on the heads of those below us. We promote ourselves, albeit it's so secretly. We lie to keep from losing faith. We're hypocritical, deceiving others, lest they find out the real truth about us. Now, we can avoid all this if we had faith. So the Bible tells us that God has maintained both our right and our cause, Psalm 9 and 4, by having faith. We run the risk of seating ourselves in the lowest chair, as Christ bade us to do, Luke 14:8 through 11. By having faith, we can simply admit what we really are. We can fearlessly confess our sins one to another in the Bible, James 5 and 16. Expose ourselves to the light. Such bold moves will greatly enhance the quality of our fellowship with one another and with God, 1 John 1 and 7. See, the Bible has a foolproof prescription for pride. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Remember that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, greed is another form of unbelief. See, people who want to get rich fall into temptation, and it's a trap. Foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. So we have to watch greed, because it leads us into the sin of unbelief, because we're supposed to trust in God. And if we trust God, the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. So that right there eliminates every area of greed in our life, because we're trusting in God. And when we trust in God, God will take care of us. That is his word. But when we get into greed, what we're doing, we're showing that we don't trust God, because we're lusting and we're going after the things of the world, of ourselves. We're not going after the things of God and waiting on God to bring these things to us when we trust God. Now, the scripture tells us truthfully that all sin is unbelief. All sin is unbelief, really. But we're just giving you some points in that. We have filthiness, pride, and greed. And many of those things right now are some of the seven deadly sins that God hates. So we want to be careful not to fall into that. Now, we have some reasons for unbelief, and I'm going to only go into about seven of them. But there are many, but I'm only going into seven of them. It's that unbelief comes from being confined to the natural. What that basically means is that we're always looking at carnal things, and when you look at carnal things, carnality are things in this natural realm is contrary to the things of God, because it always is in reference to our situation, to the things that's happening around us. Now, that goes completely against the things of God, because we are in a spiritual realm that is contrary and totally opposite to the things of the natural. But in Mark 6 and 1, it reads, "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, Jesus, and his disciples followed him. And the Sabbath had come. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters with us?' And they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.'" Now, he could do no mighty works there except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village in a circuit teaching. See, that was just looking at his, they were just looking at him. Well, that's like, we know Jesus. Who is that? We know his brothers and sisters. They were looking at the fact of him just being a man. They did not recognize his deity. They did not recognize him as being the Son of God. They only looked at him in that carnal flesh realm, and they were not blessed because of it, because of that unbelief, that carnal thinking. Now, unbelief also comes from being unprepared spiritually. Now, what does that mean? That means you have not studied the word. You have not prayed. You have not truly believed in the word of God. You have not got your spirit in line with God, and so you're unprepared. That brings unbelief. Now, Matthew 17:14, it said, "When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely.' He falls into the fire and often into the wild. So you see that this this man brought his son to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the young man was suffering with epilepsy. He's falling into water, falling into fire. The devil was trying to kill him. Now, the man told Jesus he brought his son to his disciples. His disciples were not able to cast this thing out of the young man. Why? Because they were not prepared in their spirits. There was an area of doubt and disbelief in the disciples, so therefore they could not cast this thing out. They were not prepared spiritually. Even though they were walking and talking with Jesus Christ, they saw the miracles that Jesus Christ did, but deep down in their heart, there was doubt and disbelief there. So as a result of that, they could not cast the spirit out. But Jesus, he came on the scene, and he rebuked his own disciples. He said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" Then he told the man to bring his son to him. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that hour. Now, the disciples came later to Jesus and said, "Look, Jesus, why couldn't we cast this thing out?" Jesus told them, "Because of your unbelief." They were not prepared spiritually. And then Jesus told them, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. But, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." Some spirits you have to prepare for. You have to prepare for by prayer and fasting, and that knocks out the spirit of unbelief. Now, unbelief also comes from refusing to receive credible witness consistent with the word. In other words, if someone comes to you and they're bringing you the word of God, they're telling you what God has done in their life or in another person's life, and it proves to be straight from the Lord, and you don't receive it, it's unbelief. It's unbelief. And when there's unbelief there, then you're going to lose what God has for you. Why? Because you're not believing the word through somebody that God has worked through. So you're going to lose your blessing. You're going to lose your blessing. Now, unbelief also comes from departing from God, backsliding, falling away, moving away from God. When you know you should be in God, you move away from him. Now, Hebrews 3:7 reads, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Because of their heart, they will not enter into the rest of the Lord." Now, what is that rest of the Lord? That rest of the Lord is the thing that God has promised to you. It's your Canaan land. It's the promises that God has for you. It's your deliverance. It's their salvation. It's your wholeness in God. It's the things that God has for you. When you do not believe the word of God, you're missing out on what God has for you. It's pure and simple. Pure and simple. That's it. But now, it says here, I'm going to read this, "Brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelieving in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." While it said, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled indeed? Was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Now, to enter into the things of God, the things that God has for you, you got to believe God. You got to believe his word. You got to work. You got to walk in his word and believe in him. Now, unbelief also comes from ignoring or misinterpreting the scripture. Unbelief comes from denying the power of God. And unbelief comes from being double-minded. Now, the scripture tells us in Timothy 3:1, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unliving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying his power, and from such people, turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. What does that mean? That means they deny the power that God has to deliver and set free and save and cause to live a righteous life up before the Lord. That's what that means. Turning away from the things of God. Being double-minded. You can't be double-minded. You have to be single-minded, of mind, of a heart. In other words, you got to believe the word, whatever it says. If the word of God says you're saved, you're saved. If the word of God says you're filled, you're filled. If the word of God says you're healed, you're healed. Whatever the word of God says, you believe that. You believe in your salvation. You believe that God is a deliverer. You believe that God can set you free. You believe that God can meet your needs. You believe that God can work on your behalf. God's arm is not short that he cannot save. There is nothing that is impossible to God. God can do everything and all things in righteousness. One thing that God cannot do, God cannot fail. God cannot lie. God cannot do any of those things like that, but God can deliver. God is true. God is righteous. God is our deliverer. God does not dwell in unbelief. God dwells in faith. God dwells in belief. And when we believe God, when we trust in God, when we move in the obedience of God, he will make a way for us when there is no way. He will heal us when we're sick. He will feed us when we're hungry. He'll put a roof over our head when we don't have a home. He will do all these things for us when we simply believe. Now, we can't just believe one area and then doubt in another area, because when you doubt in the area, you become double-minded, and God doesn't move in that. So we have to stand in faith. That is the reason why we brought out this area of unbelief, because there are many brothers and sisters that are suffering with this. They can believe for salvation. They can even believe to be filled with the Spirit. They can believe with some other things that's light things. They can maybe believe for God can, you know, deliver them from a headache or something. But when push comes to shove, when the big thing comes upon them, when they really have to believe with a life and death situation, then they fall away. And that's not God's will. God wants us to believe and trust in him even when things don't look good. In an impossible situation, that's when God wants us to really believe. We can't start doubting then. We have to really believe, because that's where our deliverance is. And many times that's when the enemy attacks us the most, when it looks the worst. That's when the enemy attacks us the most and brings up our failures in life. But God is not a failure, and you're not a failure. You are a believer, and you can do all things through Christ which strengthen you. But you have to believe that. We can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Now, what we're going to do at this point, we're going to end we're going to end this part of the broadcast. We're going to pray, and if anyone has any desires they want to call in, they can do that. We have a little time left. We have only about 4 minutes left on this broadcast, so we're going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask, Father God, that your word go out, touch, set free, loose the mind, Father God. Let our audience have the mind of belief and faith. Let them put all doubt and unbelief under the blood. Touch them, Father God, that they will move in faith, that they will move in power, that they will move in anointing, Lord, that they will have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the mind that was in Christ Jesus was to in total obedience to God and doing the will of God. That was the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was in total obedience and belief and faith in his Father God. And Father God, we ask that this mind also be in us that was in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we ask that we have that mind of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father God, we come against the double-mindedness. We bind that up and we cast that out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we'll be single in mind and that our faith would be in Christ Jesus, that we will put down doubt and unbelief, that we will put it under the blood, that we will receive the engrafted word of Jesus Christ, and that we will receive it in faith and belief in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. At this point, we are now closing out this service and praise God for everyone that has listened, and we pray a blessing on this word and that all of you rise up in faith. Rise up in God. Rise up in Christ and know that God is immediately on your side, and praise God for you. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed.
Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die. Can hear it.
So many times I felt like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior. Who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground? When there's nobody else around. When I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary, I walked, and now my flesh at a cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss. Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost. For my sin, who burdens got to leave. Keep my head above the sea, fighting till I finish my race. I got my crown in heaven, no devil sits in my place. My name can't be erased in this book of life. I die to live, to be united with Christ. Spirit over the flesh, it's a constant test. Daily being tested, so I stay in my best. Spiritual, I mean the word like a box of cereal. The anointing makes them demons get straight fearful. Upon me is great, it's Jesus who lives in me. I got the power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. I'm walking in the victory. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die. So the people.
people can hear it.
Battle is in our minds. Is it hard to find? In these end times, brothers is dying, doing senseless crimes, marching with death, blindly to blind. Got they chasing mine. In the street life is hell on earth. Look at the signs. Forgot about Christ. Now people crying, living in the flesh, lovers of lust. Who can you trust with your life? Don't live for Jesus. Who you the Antichrist? It's spiritual, way more real than it is the natural. You can't fake it, living this life just like the Matrix. Is it breathtaking spiritual? Whoa, am I from dope? I can't fake it. If you ready to ride, just let me know. I ain't playing no games.